This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne,
Shoe Scoop,
and CJ Gibson.
What's up?
It's Don't
our,
touch your shoe.
It's okay. Our first, just never touch the bottom of your
never,
shoe.
Never, ever fair, touch probably. The bottom of your
I,
shoe.
Or always. I always touch the bottom of my shoe.
Well, you have children, and so Rebel. You're basically touching the bottom of shoes all the time.
They're disgusting.
Because they're just on the floor.
They're right? just germs full,
nothing
full time.
About it.
They
full
eat.
Time.
They eat food off the floor.
Off that's the bottom
like,
of their shoes.
But like sometimes it's like,
kinda.
I'm like, what's in your mouth? And it's a grape, and like we didn't even have grapes that day.
Like, you just well. Found it.
Cool. Cool. Well, we have a great show for you this week. It's our first post E3 2019 show. We've got release dates now that are going to carry us pretty much all the way through to the next E3.
Yeah.
Got to talk about all the big games we can't wait to play.
But first, Damon had a day on the farm yesterday.
Yeah. That's why. I don't know if you can tell. I literally have a farmer's.
Is it the farmer's stand where you're wearing a short sleeve shirt?
Yeah. If you have a farmer's.
Let's roll them up.
Oh, there it is.
There it
farmer's
is.
Burn. I don't know how well
it'll. You got to be checking out the video
camera.
For this.
Yeah. Nice we're at a done. Charity event at a farm yesterday, and I did some farm work.
IGN Cares.
For IGN Cares.
Nice.
And they said, you guys should wear sunscreen, and I didn't. I just didn't.
Just wanted that farmer's
tan. I learned that lesson every 3 years.
It's like The Simpsons, yeah. where they're talking about the sunscreen, and if you were to zoom into Damon's mind, it's just like a mouse with a wheel of cheese. Like,
yeah. No, I was just like, I was ready to pull some weeds. And there was a really cute farm cat named Squirrel.
Did he or she get sunburned?
I think the farm cat was wearing sunscreen.
The cat was named Squirrel.
Can animals get sunburns?
I don't know.
I bet the hairless cats can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
But they look kind of weird.
They do look weird.
I don't know about those guys.
Don't at him.
Before we get into it, I have a code giveaway for the Contra Anniversary Collection on Switch.
Nice.
Can I have it?
You cannot have it.
Oh.
I mean, you don't have your Switch right now to redeem it.
It's in my bag out there. I'm going to redeem it first.
No, you're not going to redeem it first. But here's the thing. I'm not going to read out the whole code right now. We're going to split it up over the show.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's going to be
Can
no
you
problem.
Imagine the increase in viewership we're about to get.
The retention is going to be amazing.
Literally ones of people are going to be tuning in.
Super C is worth it.
Yeah, it's a good collection of classic Contra games. This is for the Switch version. I'm going to split out the code over the show, which won't be any problem because everyone listening and watching are real fans. They tune into the whole show every week. And that's why they don't need timestamps.
Aren't those fan provided at this point?
Yeah, out of rage.
Does that make you mad?
No, not at all.
It's just a long, standing GameScoop tradition that someone says, Damon, please provide timestamps, and Damon says no.
And I just,
that's just been ongoing.
And I just ignore it.
But guess what, guys? We have lights now. The lights are back.
I like that.
That's such a drastic contrast.
Yeah. That was weird.
That was last week.
That's good.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was close.
Is that why people are
complaining? We got to get into the show. The lights don't do much for our podcast.
I don't watch my own show.
All right, this is a code for Contra Anniversary Collection on Switch. The first four characters are C03H. Please be excited to learn more about the code for Contra Anniversary Collection later in the show.
I'm going
to
write it in my hand and claim it.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll see.
He has a pen.
All right, let's talk about all these games that we have release dates for coming out of E3. First of all, what do you guys think about E3? Good or bad this year? Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's a binary system.
Down.
Down on E3.
If I'm forced to choose.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thumbs up only for...
Oh, we already know where this is going. Just say it, Sam.
Breath of the Wild 2.
There it is.
The announcement
one
of Breath of the Wild 2, which that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I mean,
even the worst E3 has so many cool games and cool moments. So it's like I still really enjoy E3 every year. But if you were to rank every E3, this is for sure in the bottom half of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you say it like that, I mean, I did think of Sam actually when that Breath of the Wild 2 announcement, because that did come out of nowhere. Were you expecting that?
Or no,
were you expecting
a DLC? I had an interview with Aonuma, the producer and director of it, that shortly afterwards, and like an hour and a half after.
And then awesome. You got to play it, which is really exciting.
We're laughing because that's not true.
Exactly.
You play as an Octorok the whole time. Yeah, it's exactly. Insane.
I did play two other new Zelda games that week, though. Cadence of Hyrule Link's...
We'll get to Cadence of Hyrule. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. In spite of like Sony not being there and other companies not being there, there's still like a ton of games in the near future that I'm excited to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I'm not super down.
But not the near future.
Over the next year, yes.
Yeah,
and but, even this year.
Yeah, fall.
Let's get name to 2020 one,
is the big one.
How about
one.
Super Mario Maker 2 coming out next week on June 28th?
I'm excited for the single player. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They've added so much content to that. I'm really excited.
Can't someone else make my levels?
Yes, they can.
It's kind of
that's literally what it
should be a service. Like, I'll come to your house and make your Mario Maker levels.
I would prefer it to be Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think there's a game or two you could play from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got a couple
but
of those.
But this one, I just want to play Nintendo.
I hope the little castle rebuilding stuff is neat. I know. Yeah. I already know it's not. I know it's going to be.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's what happens when you play through single player levels. Is that you get to manage a castle?
Yeah, it's not going to be
a
like
a good game name. Manage a castle.
Yeah,
I'm sure that exists.
It up.
It's a free to play mobile game,
and there's no way to know anyway.
There's no way to know. Sticking with the Switch, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is out July 19th. I haven't played that one, but I hear nothing but good things from people who have.
Always liked that franchise. Never gotten into it, so this is my chance.
Yeah,
let's play together.
Okay, let's do it.
I played Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. I wrote the guide for it, and I think it's just really dull.
Well, that other people that have checked out 3
you just
are
walk
into
forward
it.
And kill stuff.
Have you ever played Diablo?
No. Okay. Do you walk forward and kill stuff?
I mean, yeah, but you're describing 90% of video games.
But is there interesting loot?
In Diablo?
This doesn't have that.
Oh.
Well, maybe they do now.
Maybe.
Also, don't you walk forward and kill stuff in Contra and Castlevania?
And everything.
I try to
hit a button.
Without killing things.
Mm-hmm. Really? The no-kill.
Borderlands.
The no-kill Contra
how
run.
That happens, yeah.
Difficult to pull off. You're really stuck at the boss. Look,
you just keep dodging until you can't know
forever.
More.
I really like a Contra pacifist run. Who can make it farthest?
You can at least get to that big door that shoots at you.
Yeah.
Right?
You gotta turn around and go home.
Yeah. Not gonna get much farther than that.
No, but you can duck there.
Now, I
can't go left.
The door doesn't count. You can kill the door. I wonder if you get through Contra without killing anything.
Yeah, the door. Come on. And then the second boss is a computer terminal anyway.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Yeah, we don't have our soundboard here, so gotta provide our own sound.
Do you think we're in the right key?
We're close.
Yeah. We all have perfect pitch.
Let's check that out.
PAL or NTSC.
Hey, whoever is doing the timestamps, can you please check our pitches this week?
We need a key stamp.
Yes. Exactly.
Man, it's warm in here today.
It really is.
You should put on a corduroy jacket.
That is a fan. Is it working?
I don't know.
It's working.
It
sucks in air. It doesn't spit out.
It says
81 degrees.
It's really warm in here.
Is it just 81 degrees
I'm
in here?
I'm thinking about popping this shirt off if
you should pop it off.
Yeah, I did.
This is the warmest place in all of San Francisco right now.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Old summer here.
There are three games coming out July 26th. Wolfenstein Youngblood, which I think looks really cool. I'm going to play that one.
In.
Kill La Kill.
the anime, the adaptation of the anime, which I've been watching and is super cool. And then Fire Emblem, which I don't know what to make of because they did not show it at E3.
Brendan played it.
Brendan played it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the only person that even saw it moving.
Like during their direct, they just showed an anime trailer.
Weird, so it's right?
Like, that doesn't do much for me.
Yeah.
What were Brendan's impressions? Do you know?
He's excited for it. He doesn't like babies in Fire Emblem, which I think is a weird take.
Don't like babies.
Yeah,
well, it has morphed into this like generational, like get your characters together and have kids and make new units. Yeah. That franchise is taking a weird direction.
Brendan's
hyped for it.
You got Wargroove.
He loves it.
No, every single time that there's a new Fire Emblem, it's just that much longer that we've not gone with Advance Wars.
That's good.
And I like Fire Emblem, but like, come on.
That is true.
Nintendo, you cowards.
They just had that one Awakening hit, huh? So that meant that they stuck with that series.
Yeah, that's true. Some people are excited for this Astral Chain from Platinum. That's August 30th, but I don't really know anything about that.
I'm really turning around on it. Like, really? I thought it looked weird, not very great. And like, Platinum is this like black and white company, right? You get like good Platinum or bad Platinum. And I'm like, this might be bad Platinum. But then I'm actually, E3 2019, I think it's looking much better.
A lot of bad Platinum games are licensed, right?
They've done some stuff like that. Is it like Bayonetta? Is it like an action game? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right.
So they do best.
You've been watching Kill la Kill?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's completely insane.
It's just like
I watched half of it,
and it was too weird for me.
We have a bunch of exclusives that Miranda went to Japan for Kill la Kill that we've been doling out for the past couple weeks. Should you be interested?
Totally seems like a good fit for a video game.
Yep.
Just like crazy over-the-top battles. Mm. Phoenix Point is out September 3rd. That's the from the creator of XCOM. And it's just like, it's like XCOM. It's another XCOM. Which is exciting for me and Dan Stapleton. Monster Hunter World Iceborne is out September 6th. That's the expansion to Monster Hunter World. I don't think it's standalone. I think you need Monster Hunter World to play that.
Big expansion.
Yeah.
Very big.
And Casey's very excited for it, I assume.
Yeah, she is. And the beta's out this week.
It's like a Monster Hunter World 1.5, practically.
Cool. And then Gears 5 is September 10th.
It's early.
It's, like, it's here.
Yeah.
It's basically here. I hope that one turns out well.
It's got really cool escape mode where you're building your own little areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miranda, who's the only person that does work here, also has big exclusives on that this month.
That's right. Yeah. Miranda and I were down there in Vancouver.
You did some work?
Yeah, I did. Looks really cool. Kind of, played a little bit. Saw.
But you don't know what you can talk about and what you can.
No, a lot of it stuff's out right now. The Horde escape mode, I think it's one of those things where they're trying to change and do like a community, weekly upgraded thing. So it's really cool. Like, looking at the game graphically, it looks amazing. But I mean, this is at the end of the hardware too. Did you see that Xbox moment where all of a sudden on the stage they're like, oh, and then we're going to take a quick look at this. And the camera went underneath the stage and then Rod's standing there with a bunch of gamers. That was awesome. Crazy. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, it's really cool.
Gears. It's just like the raid when they go down through the raider hole.
All of us were just watching the press conference. We're like, oh, neat. And all the video nerds at IGN were like, what
is happening? This camera.
That was the game of the show.
The fire.
Yeah.
In the raid, they just tied a rope around a guy.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Gears 5, I haven't played a Gears since Gears 2. If the campaign is good, I'll play it. Borderlands 3 is out September 13th.
They've not talked about the campaign at all. So that was the weird thing, is that it's only been really, for the most part, multiplayer. Hmm. There's been a little trailer, I think, for it a while back, but there's been no sort of,
They had that story trailer, but we haven't seen much of it.
Yeah.
Borderlands 3 is September 13th, which I will definitely play. Mm-hmm. And CJ, I was surprised that CJ has not played Borderlands.
No, it's weird. I was talking to Brian Malkowitz. He's super into it. A lot of the people are asking me, oh, is Borderlands the Destiny killer? Is this thing the next whatever killer? And because the looter shooter game and all that has to do with it. It's a different game, but it looks really good. Like, so I'm excited to play it. But I understand that these games take a crazy amount of time investment. So, it's just so much time in the day. And I play Destiny.
I played it at E3.
But
it was great.
I could have been playing the latest expansion of Borderlands 2 and would have believed it.
Yeah.
Just, it feels that familiar.
Well, and I think that's a good thing. I think the criticism at the same time is, oh, it's just more Borderlands. But again,
it's been 7 years.
So yeah, when you like that and it looks really polished and it feels good, I mean, it's not much you can ask for. It looks like Doom Eternal. Like, that kind of looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's less of an evolution. Like it's not a game as a service like Destiny, which they could have done. So it's similar to Borderlands 2 in that way. But like, they made big changes to the character classes and to, you're going to different planets now, and they made changes to the active abilities. It's not completely different, but that line of like criticism against that game is like, it's no different than any other sequel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, half the game's new and the other half's not. Like, it's fine.
Well, the people who seem to be fans seem to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, for sure. I'm excited to give a shot.
And then Link's Awakening is September 20th.
That's very soon.
Yeah.
I hope it's less choppy by that point, but it'll choppy. Be fun anyway.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that
it was
my
sort
take.
Of chunky and odd.
Weird. Interesting.
Yeah, it has this thing that actually Octopath had where it's like they're doing that blur in the back, and like whatever is blurred for some reason doesn't look right. It looks like pixely and not blurred properly. But then also it's like when you're shifting screens, like things just don't move that as fast as they should.
Hmm.
It's a little framey.
Did it feel good though? Or
yeah,
did
it felt so good.
Okay.
And I played it three times and like the first time I played it, first of all, I kind of know where to go and they were kind of guiding me. The second time I played it, Brendan pulled out an old strategy guide on IGN and we used that. And then the third time I played it, I just knew everything and I was doing really, really
well.
And so I got really far through like a whole dungeon in it basically. And I should contextualize this. You have 15 minutes and then it just stops.
Oh, right. It's time gain demo.
So that was really funny. And then another time I played it, some other coworkers were playing it at the time. I grabbed the controller to do the thing where you can steal from the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still do that, right? And they were having trouble doing it, so I was like, I figured it out though, and did it. And you know, the shop owner does something really mean to you. And then in the original game, you get labeled as a thief for the rest of the game.
Yep,
it changes your name.
That's awesome.
We didn't put our names in this demo, so I don't know if we'll do that. It was really fun though. There's a lot to play with in that game. But man, it's going to be a shocker for people that have played recent Zelda games because even Cadence of Hyrule's like this. You can go anywhere you want.
Yep.
Right. And Link Between Worlds had a little bit of that, and of course, Breath of the Wild.
Two. also,
I have a limit on the amount of times I can say those words on the show now. This one is like you are going from screen to screen to screen to screen and barely have anywhere to explore.
Link's Awakening is a great game, but it is a linear game. It's very much like a point A to B adventure.
Yeah, it's more about puzzle solving.
Mm-hmm. It's very puzzly.
Screen by screen, you just solve puzzles.
It's got that low point in the middle of the game with the item. I don't even know what you call it, like the item trading.
That starts right from the beginning too.
Oof. I mean, so
that
I didn't,
became a staple because that was an Ocarina of like really famously and stuff.
It was one of those ones I dabbled in when I was younger. I never played through it, so I'm excited to get to it. But is it like Triforce Heroes type of puzzling? I know it's not multiplayer, but is it that type of in-depth puzzling?
No, because it's usually like how do you get enough keys to get through a dungeon?
It's just it's a very very puzzle. It's a very very puzzle heavy Zelda, probably because the Game Boy like the combat wasn't going to be all that satisfying.
Right.
So they had to lean on the puzzles. Yeah. If I were to guess,
there's some funny like adventure game stuff that makes no sense. Like even from the start of this.
Yep.
It was like, there's like, you know, go to the forest. There's a raccoon there, and the raccoon's like, you can't get past here. That's it. That's all
Figure
the information you have to go on. So you're like, what's going to distract this raccoon? If you follow that line of reasoning, it doesn't help you at all. Like, basically, you have to find a mushroom and then take it to a witch, and you're already doing this, like, crazy trading scheme. Mm-hmm. And then you have to know to go back and equip it and, like, throw dust in his face. And when you do that, he turns into a man you already met.
Sure.
It makes no sense.
I'm really thrown off by Link's Awakening being $60 on the Switch.
Yeah, I think the dungeon builder is the thing they really want to like. Well, Anuma said that was the reason they made this game, is that they made the dungeon builder, and they're like, oh, this will work with Link's Awakening a lot, and then they just put Link's Awakening port in there. And I wrote that up. You can read it on IGN.com.
Cool.
On September 24th, this is interesting, the original Baldur's Gates come to console.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played those, Justin?
Yes.
Do you imagine those would translate well to modern consoles with controllers?
Well, so I would have said no, except that they're already on iPad. And so what's the company, Beamdog, that's like, you know, taking up the mantle of these old Baldur's Gate games, and they did the enhanced edition and they're sort of bringing them back and modernizing them. They already solved a lot of the oddness around, you know, touch controls. And so, yes, I think it'll probably work. If you would have asked me before the enhanced edition on iPad, I would have said no. Hmm. But I think they sort of cracked it.
Well, I've never played those games, but I'd be interested in checking them out. But that's also the same day that Contra Rogue Core comes out.
Mm. Which you played at E3.
Which I played.
I think you're the only person that played it.
That may be. I think maybe Mitchell played it also. But I liked it. I need to play more. It's like it's a weird, different kind of Contra game. It's not side-scrolling.
Yeah.
The camera moves around based on the situation. It might be directly behind you. It might be up above in an isometric
view.
What's
the best alien you saw?
That's the thing. They seem a little generic. It's like there's like skinless guys that run at you.
Do they have red like mohawks?
Big meat bodies. No, they don't have any.
Where'd their skin go?
It was probably flayed
off
of them.
Oh, skinless.
Skinless, not skinheads.
Okay.
And then there's just like floating orb, sort of generic like drone enemies. And then
how do their eyeballs stay in?
I fought a boss. You know, they might not have even had eyeballs. They might be following my scent or my sound.
Okay.
And I could be smelly because one of the characters you can play out is a humanoid panda with a human brain.
Well, why not?
Yeah. And then it's like a wacky
traditional Contra.
It's a wacky Contra.
Yeah.
There's a female assassin who has an alien living in her gut.
A fun bit of trivia. The game was originally called Wacky Contra.
Wacky Contra, yeah.
Does the alien living in her gut matter to her character?
Yeah, because they argue. They're always bickering.
Okay. Actually,
and then there's an alien that you can play as, and the alien is like a very nice English gentleman.
Ah. Good guy alien.
So it's like,
does that alien have a red mohawk?
That one does not know.
Dude, I
don't understand. In the beginning, that's the whole point of Contra.
In the beginning of your blurb about this game, I was kind of goofing on it, but like everything you're saying to me right now, I don't know, it sounds kind of neat.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's like I just feel like it's been so long since we had a Contra game, and this is a very different, weird one, so it's like, I don't know.
So that's what I was wondering. I saw the gameplay. Does it feel good to play?
It's a twin stick shooter control. So like, you know, and with a lot of like tweaking and customizing to make it feel good to you.
Gotcha.
So I have to spend more time with it. I don't know. It doesn't feel as immediately satisfying as the original Contra.
Yeah. It's a twin stick shooter even when it's behind your back?
Yeah. Yep. And so you're aiming with the right stick and then you're pulling the trigger to fire.
Yeah. It's kind of like top down, sort of like angled. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look bad, but you're right. I wonder what was their decision to go in that direction and call it Contra.
Because it's the guy that worked on Contra 3 is directing this one, mm-hmm. but it's more like the PlayStation era Contra games when they started going into 3D.
Or the Mode 7 top-down levels that were in.
No.
I mean, I want to believe that it was maybe inspired by that. Yeah. But
we'll see. We're going to get some more time with it before it's out. Getting into October. October 4th is Ghost Recon Breakpoint, mm-hmm. which I think looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think I'll probably check that game out.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the trailers for that game and the way it looks is phenomenal. And the Ghost Recon series, I've been a fan of in the older ones. Anytime you get into these crazy, you know, multiplayer games, there's always a lot of time investment. But visually and aesthetically, the game looks amazing. It looks really
you know
good.
How I feel about ghosts.
I know you do.
I do.
What a, afraid of them. What a franchise willing to sort of reinvent itself and you know, modernize with the times and sort of, I don't know, like that Ghost Recon as a game franchise has taken a weird journey.
Yeah, that's true. I loved the Advanced Warfighter games.
Yeah.
One and two.
Yeah, those earlier ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of ghosts, Luigi's Mansion.
Well, no, that doesn't have a release date. I was going to get to that. Isn't that weird? Luigi's Mansion doesn't have a release date.
I knew he was going to use playable.
That game seemed finished at E3.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
I had to get there before.
Obviously, it's going to be out around Halloween, so just pick one of those Fridays or whatever. Like,
right?
That's weird. But there's a bunch of stuff coming out October 25th. So don't pick October 25th, Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty Modern Warfare is out that day.
They'll pick that day.
They probably will. Medieval, which is a remake?
Remake,
reboot?
Yeah.
And then The Outer Worlds.
It's got skeletons in it.
Very fine. Very nice.
Outer Worlds is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that at E3 too with Janet.
Definitely.
It's Obsidian's non-Fallout RPG.
Well, yeah. It's so Fallout-y, and I mean that in like a positive way.
Yeah. It's just like, Bethesda won't make a new real Fallout game, so Obsidian will do it.
Yep. It's got the same sort of, like, it's not right to characterize it as a comedy, but it is sort of off-kilter and, you know, just these over-the-top characters and a lot of, you know, choice in your dialogue and in how you approach different situations from a combat or non-combat perspective. I really like the E3 demo.
Cool.
I don't recall exactly. I think I voted it as my runner-up for Game of the Show.
Is there an equivalent to the VATS system?
Sort of, yeah. You can slow down time.
Okay.
So it doesn't stop, but everything moves into slow motion, and then you can target body parts.
Cool. I love it. I'm into it. November 8th is the big PlayStation 4 exclusive of the fall. It's Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big big question mark.
Yeah.
First Kojima game since he left Konami.
It'll be a big question mark after it's out, too.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
That's probably true. I'm definitely like interested to check out whatever that game is.
So surprised and impressed that it seems to be on schedule and is coming out.
Yeah. Pokemon and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order are both out November 15th. And I was actually really into what we saw of Star Wars at E3.
It was an interesting E3. At the beginning of E3, the first thing I saw at E3 was the EA Play demo of Star Wars, and I thought it looked bland and unimpressive, and I couldn't believe it. And then we went to a behind closed doors like play session where it was a bunch of combat and then some extra stuff, which I think you missed because you had to run to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
But the combat stuff alone, I was like, this looks so fun.
Yep.
It's like crazy arcadey counters and stuff to complicated Star Wars enemies.
Yeah. I loved, you know, lots of very recognizable, familiar Star Wars enemies. Tina was playing and she fought an AT-ST.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how that was like a big battle to bring the AT-ST down. And she thought she had like won the battle, but she like walks around the ATSD, and the pilot was like, like came out and was, and she still had to like deal with him.
Yeah, the porthole popped open. Yeah, he was like just getting up, and then she was in celebration mode. He was like starting to shoot. It was great.
It was really good. I agree with Sam that I think that game looks very video gamey based off what they showed at EA Play. It's like, oh, there's like I don't have a path forward. Like hit the force power button, and he like you know creates a path, and I'm like. That's no different than Uncharted. Like, it's a little bit odd to criticize this game and not every other linear action adventure game. But
they don't want it to be a linear action adventure game. They're like, this is like everything they talked about was Metroid-y. And like when they went into the full demo behind closed doors, I just like they paused the game so just so I could look at the map for a long time. The map is so Metroid Prime. It's like this big 3D built out thing.
That's cool.
It doesn't show any waypoints. You always have to figure out where to go based on where you couldn't go before, like a door that's closed or whatever. Liked all that. And then, they keep on bringing up Wind Waker and Metroid Prime and like all this stuff. They keep dropping those names.
The right
really,
touch
really hoping that it did have the influence on that game. I don't know.
I mean, that studio is really talented, and I'm excited to see them get a chance to stretch and do something a little bit different and give Star Wars, hopefully it's due, finally.
Yeah, finally. Did you see Behind Closed Doors as well? No,
there's
so you guys did.
There's a Shadow of the Colossus part where it's like, I guess it's a cliched way of describing it, but there's an AT-AT covered in vines, and you crawl up it, and you get inside. It's like really cool. That part's neat, whatever. But then once you're inside, it's like fully built out and realized. And there's like two land speeders, like kind of lodged in it for like easy like shooting out the sides and the little command structure inside was there's like a there's a droid and like a couple of troopers, and it was just like so cool to like go up and inside of it, and then there's like a fully realized, you never get to see this stuff, it was really neat.
Yeah, I've never seen inside an AT-AT before.
Yeah, it's in stuff like Clone Wars, but it's just like I don't keep up with those cartoons very much, if that's what you can call them.
That's true. And then through this game, we sort of learned a little bit about how Lucasfilm works and like their policies, and like they have there's a reason why you can't just like dismember any stormtrooper and cut off their heads.
Big story beats. We wrote about this yesterday. You can see our article, and I actually interviewed a friend of mine that worked for the cartoons at Lucas, and she was giving us kind of the rules and backing up what they were saying in this demo, which is like you can hurt, you can cut off limbs of robots and bugs and animals and stuff, but like only big story beats can you do a decapitation of a person.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It makes sense because in the movies, I think that's kind of how it works, unless it's like a dream sequence. And then.
But it's like everything is canon now with every Star Wars story, right? Which is like such a blessing and a curse. Like you're contributing to the main Star Wars storyline, which is amazing and awesome, but also like puts these limitations
eventually
on you.
Too,
right? Yeah.
But I think you can stab stormtroopers right in the gut and then leave a big hole there.
Got it.
That's totally
awesome. Can't cut them in half, though.
Yeah. Nope. Just stabbing.
Even though you're swiping a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that's really
good,
though.
That would be an interesting mod for the PC version of this.
I'm sure that'll happen, yeah. But, I mean, I guess it also creates a whole different problem for the developers to create, like,
body parts everywhere.
Yeah.
But we saw some fun.
It's going to be arms everywhere.
Yeah. Limbs and...
In our demo, the ragdoll effects were kept on having stormtroopers, like, which already look like toys because we were used to that, like crumple in a corner, and then they look like they're like kneeling and looking all bummed. It was so funny.
Yeah, there's some good ragdoll in there.
Yeah.
On November 19th, Shenmue 3 is coming out. Unless it gets delayed again.
Yeah, is it?
Well, we'll see. I've never played a Shenmue game, but I'm sure someone out there.
I've watched a lot of videos.
Yeah,
it's about walking around a town slowly.
And driving a forklift.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Then Doom Eternal is November 22nd.
Oh, looks so good.
Yeah.
What a twist for that series, man.
Yeah, dude.
You know,
looks
it's really so interesting.
Good. Yeah.
I actually didn't play much of Doom 2016, so I should find some time.
It's not too late.
And then sometime in December, this weirdo game, Ancestors... Odyssey of Mankind, is that what it's called? That's the Patrice Desolée game. We had it on our live show at E3. Yeah.
What is it?
It's a game where you're playing like early pre-man, early apes, millions of years ago, and sort of like have to progress your tribe and help them evolve over time into our earliest ancestors. And it's like, I mean, it's like, it's cool, but it's just such a weird concept. And like, you're only seeing these like primitive apes. That's who you're controlling in the game. So there's no humans, no machinery.
Did they, on our live show, or is it like a gameplay demo?
Yeah, it was Patrice, yeah.
Okay, I want to watch it then, because I've only seen that like insane trailer that shows them like swinging through trees and traveling through time.
But there's like prehistoric stuff, like a giant millipede that you fight against.
Historic.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit, like, it's a smaller team. I think there's only...
Simi?
No, it's like an open world game. So imagine if it were like Assassin's Creed, but you're an ape. And there's no,
but you're also
around.
Progressing what through like millions of years of the course.
You're also
of,
yeah.
like evolving.
You're like when you do enough, you accomplish enough objectives for your tribe at the time, you can like evolve to the next stage.
And then it's like a million years have gone by,
and it like changes the open world.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I think over time, like you might start in a jungle, and then that will have like eroded away to a desert-like area, and you got to find a new home for your tribe. It's just, it would be cool.
Is this a French game?
Yes.
I knew it.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I was like, whoa, what is happening?
I like how they take risks over there.
Yeah.
I love French.
What was that? What was that quote from like the Next Gen about like from the review? It was like, just like those fancy pants art house films the Europeans like to make. That's what Ancestors is. And then, the question marks for the rest of the year are Luigi's Mansion. I don't know why we don't have a release date for that. And then supposedly the Final Fantasy VIII remaster is coming this year as well. But we shall see.
Luigi's Mansion looks really good.
Yeah, it did.
And that moves us right into 2020. We know we're finally going to get to play Ori and the Will of the Wisps on February 11th. It was a little bit of a bummer that that was delayed.
Nobody likes January. Then suddenly beginning in February.
It's except like this year we had Kingdom Hearts and Resident Evil 2.
That's true.
And 2 years ago, Monster Hunter World. So I don't know.
Yeah, Capcom likes January. I'm sure something will rephrase nobody.
Something will pop up in January.
Capcom.
The Final Fantasy VII remake is out March 3rd. However, of that project is
2 discs, 20 hours.
It's so won everybody over, right? Like everyone's like, I don't know about the real time combat. I don't know, dude. Everybody that played it said it was so fun and so good.
Yes, I think it looks good too, and I'm happy that the combat apparently is working out well. I just don't like how Square Enix is not being transparent about their plans for the game.
But the thing is, it's not like Midgar was what, I don't know, 6 hours of Final Fantasy VII. Like if they took that and expanded it into a whole full length game, like great, like that's fine.
But they're calling it Final Fantasy VII Remake, not Part One, not like Episode One. There's none of that in there. It's just Final Fantasy VII Remake. And when you get that, when you buy that, you're not getting that. Hmm. That bugs me. But I know people are really excited about it.
Midgar is the best part of that game anyway.
Is that true? Not the open world stuff?
No. Yeah, you don't like exploring?
No. That game gets worse as it goes.
Mm-hmm. What about Cactuar?
What about?
Yeah, Emerald and Ruby Weapon would be cool, I guess.
And then 3 days later, Watch Dogs Legion is out on March 6th, and I think that game looks cool.
Very closely lost our game of the show.
Is that true?
To Cyberpunk. Yeah, it was second place.
Interesting. Wow. Even ahead of Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
That's really surprising.
And Legion was one of those games, lots of E3s have one of these games that sort of sneaks up on us as a staff, and it seems like the industry as a whole. Like, it looked really, really cool at Ubisoft's press conference, but as more and more people got to see it, they're like, yo, like, this game is super, super legit. And I think that that's one that, you know, as more and more people learn more about it, they're really going to buy into Ubisoft's vision for what they're doing.
It's definitely an interesting concept, not having a main player character, but recruiting people to your team and being.
Does it have dogs, though?
No.
No, we've already confirmed there are no dogs.
No dogs.
Yeah, we did confirm that.
Are there watches?
Is it true, Sam, that you were not won over by Watch Dogs Legion?
No, I think my take was that we did so much preview coverage of it that I was kind of tired of it by E3, so I didn't need to go see it. But
gotcha.
It looks interesting, and I don't like the series very much.
Yeah. Well, what about Animal Crossing? Do you like that series? That's March 20th.
I'm so hyped.
That delay sucks. I'm just going to come out and say it. I was really excited for Animal Crossing this year, and now I'm not having the time to play it. There's all these other games out.
Well,
Animal Crossing being delayed actually is a punch in the gut for me as well. It's like one of my most anticipated games out of nowhere.
Plus for Nintendo, too. I mean, it's been a good year for them.
I will say, you know, this is a game that runs on a real-time clock. March 20th in the game is March 20th in real life. And, like, you're on an island this time. And it may have felt a little bit odd to get that going into winter.
Maybe. You want to... I thought maybe
that was your only consideration.
Well, so it's like, you know, I'm probably realistically not going to play that game for a whole year. So if I only get to see 2 seasons, I'd much rather see spring.
IGN's only reporter, Miranda, also interviewed the the developers and asked about stuff like that. It's a really, really good interview, and I highly recommend you check it out. There's some pretty funny internal Animal Crossing scoops in there.
Scoop.
Scoops. That's a scoop. Animal Crossing scoops.
And then we finally got a release date for Cyberpunk. April 16th, they're finally bringing that game in. And obviously, the game won our Game of the Show second year in a row.
It seems soon to me.
Think so?
Yeah. I mean, next-gen systems are going to be out 5 months later.
I saw Justin was tweeting about that. So it puts people in a little bit of an interesting
spot. Saying, do you buy it or not?
Yeah, it's like, just
you know,
like,
the next gen systems are 6 months away.
And PC gamers don't have this issue.
And so it also puts the companies at a tight spot of like, do you try to sell that game to people again for $60, or you know, if you put that PS4 disc into your PS5, will something happen? Will you get some up-resed version of the experience?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I think people are gonna have to pick and choose game by game. Like maybe Cyberpunk is too important and too hype to skip. You have to play it at launch. But maybe for like Watch Dogs or something else, you're like, okay, maybe I will wait for the inevitable, you know, definitive edition on next gen.
Yeah. It looks incredible. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's going to be really, really amazing on even current gen systems.
Yeah, yeah. 360 did that when it launched. It had up-resing up to 720p for a lot of old-school Xbox games. If something like that happens, that'd
be kind of
cool.
I also think the Xbox One X is a considerably more powerful console than the PS4 Pro, so that actually puts Microsoft in a little bit more favorable position where they almost do have this like two-generation solution in a way that I think the PS4 Pro is going to be a little bit more left behind when next-gen launches.
Yeah, yeah. We saw another behind-closed-doors demo for Cyberpunk. Just like last E3, I think, you know, the general public hasn't seen it yet, but I think they've already announced that they're going to be releasing it in the coming weeks.
Yep.
But most people seem to agree that it looked totally cool, totally fun. If we'd just been playing the game, that part of the game at home, it would have been great. It was a little bit less exciting than the demo that we saw last year.
Very story-heavy.
Yeah, it's an RPG, clearly, and I think they really wanted to get that across, that it's like, well, you know, it's an action game, but it has so many RPG elements. We really saw those shopping and upgrading and changing. Respec, we even saw.
I mean, we're forgetting the main thing that it has. It has Keanu.
It does have Keanu.
I mean, so right there, it's a lot going for it.
He's like ever-present.
And a really cool role.
Some kind of force ghost.
Yeah. He's the ghost in the machine.
Yeah, it does look super cool.
Also evil.
I think
cool though.
I wouldn't be surprised if Night City ends up being the star of that game. It just seems like such a cool lived in place, and it seems like they were really thoughtful with, you know, to be fair, they're controlling the parts of it that they show us, but the city has a history, and like the market isn't just a market. Like the market used to be something else that this group has taken over and like converted for use for their neighborhood to like barter and buy things and sell things. And it seems like every single area in the game just has this sort of story behind it that feels really clever and real and just interesting, and I really, really want to just run around that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if
there's two behind closed doors demo. Which one do you guys see? The one that was on the floor or up top?
No, the hour long one that's upstairs.
But the other one is the same demo, just shorter.
Yeah, so I saw the shorter one. I think I can't remember if we were talking about this, Sam. And it's like, I mean, I think it was probably a better condensed.
I saw you upstairs in that fake bar.
No, I mean, well, I was there doing interviews and other things. Oh, okay. But then I went and saw the show floor one, 20 minutes, which was about right. I mean, I saw the one last year at Gamescom, and I heard that, people thought that it drug out a little bit this year in comparison, but still really cool. I think
the
we all
one reservation I have, which unfortunately is a big one, we've only seen the game hands off, and I don't have a sense at all about how does that actual shooting
feel. Absolutely.
You know, characters aren't quite reacting in like, you know, the visceral way that they are in like a dedicated shooter, and the weapon. And again, it's really, really hard in hands off, but like it makes a big difference. Like game feel is something that like, I don't know, you know, like Destiny gets so right.
Yeah.
And that's new to CD Projekt, and like, you know, they're not letting anybody go hands on with it. So it's absolutely at the top of my most anticipated list, but that is something in the back of my mind that I'm like,
They were at Gamescom last year. I wonder if they'll let people go hands on at Gamescom or if they'll just stay kind of.
There's no way.
Think?
I don't care about Keanu Reeves being in this game.
Whoa.
I mean, that's fine.
Sam. There it is, mic drop.
The game has a bunch of great acting in it, and I don't care. I don't think it needs a star like that. And his character.
Do you think it takes away from it?
It's a really great name, though. I'll give it that.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny Silver. Do you think it takes away from it, though?
No, I just don't. I just don't understand. I think the inside joke is tired now.
Wow.
The Keanu stuff. However,
inside joke of Keanu or just a celebrity?
Yeah, just like this whole year of Keanu love.
But when they cast him 12 months ago, like they didn't. John Wick 3 is the biggest one yet. You know, it wasn't clear that he was going to be like having his moment.
No, I don't think it's CD Projekt Red's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird to hear you say that. To me, of all the people that they could have cast right now to have a great moment, Keanu's the guy.
It seems like a smart play. They got a lot of hype out of it.
Yeah.
But that's not why I'm going to play this game.
No,
and I think it was like
not.
A really clever E3 trick.
Yeah.
So like, I love the marketing angle on that, but like, should I really care about their marketing angles? It looks like a fun game anyway.
Yeah.
This, I would have to say though, that out of all the ghosts at E3, so we have Keanu Ghost, number one.
Yeah.
I think definitely one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gooigi. Number two.
Yeah.
And the Ghost Recon is number three.
Oh,
agreed.
There you go. Yeah.
Top three ghosts.
John Bernthal.
Nice to know.
CD Projekt.
Yes,
right? They go from Witcher 1 to Witcher 2 to Witcher 3 to Cyberpunk. Like, what? Like a stair step up for each one, right? Just in terms of production values, and we don't know whether Cyberpunk's good or not, but like perceived, you know, quality and impact on the industry.
I was saying
like,
Rockstar, Nintendo, and them are the best developers on earth.
Yeah,
like they really muscled and willed themselves into AAA. Yeah. Like I've never seen anything like it.
You did skip over Gwent.
Yeah, okay, good point.
Gwent was maybe a stumble.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's a good game, it just didn't really.
But like, have you seen The Witcher 1? That is not like, that's not like, I mean, it's a really cool like computer RPG, but you know, like it's a dime a dozen, you know, and then Witcher 2 was sort of like scraping up against, you know, AA, and then Witcher 3 punched through, and then they just keep reinvesting in, and now they have Cyberpunk. Like, it's really impressive and amazing.
And Witcher 3, for better or worse, is coming to Switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
540p.
Yeah, cool. We'll see. It doesn't look as great, obviously, but we'll see how it feels, and it will absolutely be portable. So
I wonder what the story is behind that. Like, why do it? How did it happen? Like, I really want to look into.
Yeah, like who reached out to who? Did Nintendo want on there, or did CD Projekt want to?
But that's super cool. I mean, we made obviously the April Fool's video about, you know, everything's coming to Switch.
Yeah,
that was not something I was expecting, and that's really cool. I'm not sure if we did put that in there or not.
It was too far-fetched.
I was going to say, I got to look back. It might have been, actually. We had things like Modern Warfare and a couple of those things.
Do you think, so are we getting The Witcher and Smash?
I don't know. We're getting Banjo.
Banjo,
that was another announcement. And that all brings us to May 15th, the furthest out release date for a video game we know of. And that's Marvel's Avengers.
Ah, yes.
A game that I do not know about.
Yeah. That was a really mixed opinion in our demo, especially like some people came out of that. I mean, Tina liked it a lot, and like I totally like see why people are like, "This is the Avengers." It's like, so you're playing as the Avengers, and it looks really good. I'm like, that's a fair assessment.
Do you think it looks really good?
I don't think it looks really good. I think if you
I'm just saying, I saw people with, like, the takes were just wildly different.
Yeah, yeah, but just like visually, if you compare that to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Cyberpunk, Final Fantasy VII, any other game, big AAA game that was at E3, I don't think it looks.
I thought the backgrounds of San Francisco and stuff looked really nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we were talking about this a little bit. The character models, is it too...
That's the worst part.
Right, but I mean, is it because...
It's also I don't know what they should have done.
Well, that's exactly it. Like, is it because you got the MCU in your brain from the movies and you just can't detach yourself from that?
Maybe make it look like a comic book.
What they should have done is not had the exact same cast from the MCU.
Right.
That overlap
is strange. Just a different event.
Like, they invited that comparison. Like, everyone that's just sort of like hand-waving that criticism away, like, oh, they're their own characters. Like, of course they don't have the MCU characters. I'm like, yeah, but they chose to have, you know, Black Widow
same ones.
You know, instead of, you know, Wasp or, you know.
Or they were limited to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of the X-Men have been in the Avengers. Like, but it's just completely crazy that they chose that cast.
Yeah. It's not like what we saw. From what we saw, I don't think it was written well. None of the one-liners landed. So it's like, In the movies, everyone's so likable. Their movies are so well written and funny, and so it feels like just like a knockoff version of the Avengers we already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love how they came out after E3 and they're like, "We are not changing these character models," and like they're so invited. Like, Sonic. 3 months from now, we're changing the character models.
Yeah, we'll see. And that's, I mean, May 15th is less than a week away from. Less than a month away from E3 2020. I'm just saying, we have a lot to play before next E3.
We do.
If E3 ever happens again.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I said that jokingly.
I know they announced the dates, but like the show floor was Nintendo and nothing this year.
Yeah. Only in that hall.
The other hall
is fine.
Yeah.
The other hall was totally fine, but that was crazy.
It was odd. This was the first time where I walked into E3, and when I walked in that main show floor, it felt eerie because there was no competing sound. Like, typically it's Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony all competing with each other, and then we've had a booth in there as well too, so it felt odd, very weird. And I mean, obviously, the Santa Monica year, right?
Yeah, I was there.
When was that, 2007?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was saying that to Damon. Do you think that that's a possibility, even though they announced the dates? You know, do we think E3 is going to get scaled down potentially next year?
I mean, can you imagine how vigorously, you know, ESA, the E3 organizers, are talking to Sony right now?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And because next gen, right?
Yeah, and the new consoles launching.
E3 may get a stay of execution thanks to next gen. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to, you know, make a big splash, and they can't cede, you know, attention to their competitors.
Yeah, I can totally see that doing it. The other big booth, which is physically right when you walked in, was the Sega booth, and it was all Mario and Sonic
themed. Yeah. the Olympic
what
stuff.
What a weird thing to cost probably hundreds of thousands of dollars to put on the show floor.
Yeah. I mean, how at the time Sony decided not to be at E3, we're like, what a mistake. But it's like, A, every single game they showed off last year is still not out.
Yep.
So they just would have invited an entire week of criticism of like, you're showing off the exact same stuff.
They got Spidey out.
Yeah, they did get Spidey out.
That's true.
But it's like, so we're talking about...
Oh, and this day's gone, too.
So we're talking about 2020. Oh, right. Like, since Sony wasn't there, like, you know, Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us are going to be 2020 games. So, man, what a stacked year. I mean, I always say that every year, but, like, I really do feel that about next year. All the E3 stuff getting pushed
to 2020. And the recent, like, developer, like, little slip about Last of Us was that it would be spring also.
Well, oh, yeah.
We had like a rumor news story about
that's true.
That.
Yeah.
It's 2020. It's like an offhanded, like half of a word, right?
Yeah.
February is
it said fet, and then it got cut off. Yeah.
Fell.
Yeah.
Fell 2020.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if in February PS4 has Last of Us Part 2 and Xbox has Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
So you think it's going to be
both games I want to play.
So you think there'll be probably an official PlayStation announcement like they did last time in March. March, April.
March.
Yeah. For PlayStation 5?
Going to be an exciting year.
Mm. It was in February for the 4, but we'll see.
Love console launch time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give away the other part of our Contra Anniversary Collection code on the Switch. The next four characters are XHLM.
Is that, is that the end of the code?
Nope.
It's one more. That's half of the code.
Dude, this is great. I mean, you got to do this every week. Just like stay right to the end.
We can make this a thing.
The numbers are just ticking up.
Tick.
Yep, tick.
Let's share what we've been playing. I feel like there's been a lot to play now all of a sudden recently.
Yeah, what a crazy week after E3 it's been. There's too many games for me to play right now.
Sam and Justin, I know you both have played Cadence of Hyrule.
Justin beat it in one day. I've been playing it all week.
I beat it in two settings.
Two sittings?
Yeah. Wow. Sittings.
Yeah, I loved it.
I've downloaded it, but I haven't started yet. Haven't gotten to play it.
Yeah, me either.
It's an odd, you know, Brian Altano has some kind of negative impressions up on IGN, and I completely understand and get that it's a game that might not demo well, because that game will kick your ass for like the first 20 minutes you play it, and then it kind of starts to click, and you're like, oh, I get it. But in a demo setting, like, you just die and die and die and die, and then you walk away, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't like that.
Yeah. It's not that it's hard. It's just like it's very different. It's just different. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it is a game of pattern recognition, and every single enemy will move the exact same way every single time they spot you. So a Lizalfos will always run right at you, and like, you know, a Bokoblin will always like move every other beat. And so you eventually get to a point where you enter this kind of like flow state where it's a new screen and there's eight enemies, and you just know instinctually like what they're going to do and how they're going to react to you. And then as Link, you sort of hop around to the beat of the music and kill them all. And it's like the best feeling when you get it all right and can accurately predict what's going to happen. Love the music remixes.
The music's good.
And I love that they pick some like non-obvious stuff. Like it's not like
they play a Hyrule Field theme, but then you hear a little bit of the Wind Waker ocean theme, and then a little bit of like maybe the some Ocarina of Time like just flourishes, which did not have the Overworld theme in it. So they really mash it up.
The musical theory, I guess, I don't know what the word would be, but like they clearly put so much more thought into that music than they had to. I really like it. My only criticism is that it is a little short, and even though it's all like randomized, you can go back through in the overworld.
Did you 100%? Did you do all the heart pieces?
No, not yet.
I think maybe that's what's taking. That's just how I play Zelda, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I wish it had like a hard mode or like an endless dungeon mode, or like I beat the game and I was like, well, like other than starting over, like I was kind of just done after two. You know, my Switch didn't even drain its battery twice, and then I was done. So
I'm definitely playing in a different way. It was just taking me a long time to get through it, but I do see that like there's a limited amount of dungeons and stuff, which apparently people don't want us to spoil. But there's a really cool thing about that game is that it looks like Zelda, and that really goes so far. It's like an amazing set of sprites in that game, and it's really cool to see like all the familiar enemies are actually redone.
I love this,
and they look amazing, and they all animate really well, and it's really cool. Playing as Link and Zelda is really awesome too. And then the game is completely randomly generated. The overworld itself will not only tile out differently whenever you start your game, but the elements of each tile are a little bit mixed. And then the dungeons are randomly generated certain dungeons when you go underground are randomly generated too.
It's
really amazing to see all those pieces come together randomly.
Yeah, that's
cool. Each overworld place is randomly placed, and there's a piece of loot on each overworld place that's also random. So it's pretty cool.
Looks awesome.
Is this the first time we've been able to play as Zelda in a game?
You play as Zelda in, like, you know, dungeon segments and things, and in Phantom Hourglass and stuff like that. It's very rare.
The mobile games.
She follows you in Link's past.
It's cool. She starts with a dagger in this, and it's like dagger sword. It's like really funny.
The game, my main criticism is that it's got this, I touched on this earlier, the difficulty's inverted. It's hardest at the start, and then I blasted through the final, I don't want to say how many dungeons there are, the back half of the game. I died probably 40 times in the first half and zero times in the back half. Like,
yeah, because you can get heart containers and then you learn some stuff. Like, Justin had a really good tip about this long sword weapon that's like, it just attacks in a different way that makes things really easy.
Get the weapon that attacks three wide and you can upgrade it to do double damage and it just melts bosses. And I'm like, oh, it's still like really fun for the music and graphics and everything, but it doesn't, it's just weird. It gets easier as it goes. It's odd.
Yeah, I'm excited to play that. After I finish Bloodstained Ritual of the Night,
right,
which I've been playing a lot of, and I've been enjoying it so far. I didn't really know what to think because the game has been a long time in development. It was kickstarted, and then even though it's being published by 505 Games, they did not give us review copies ahead of time, so it's a little bit like, ooh, I don't know. But I think it's good. I can at least tell it's a good Metroidvania game, Igavania game. Now, is it as good as Symphony of the Night? Is it as good as any of the handful of other great Metroidvania games we've got in recent years? That I'm not sure yet.
What's the map like?
Dude, the game looks...
It looks great.
Feels exactly like Symphony of the Night.
Awesome.
It's just like the whole gameplay loop, like you put it really well on a previous GameScoop. The point of those games, what you're always doing is trying to find the next save room, and that's exactly right.
I love that. And like fill out the very corners of the map in that process. It's really about maps and saving. Yeah. Love that. And then there's good loot drops this time where you get like monster drops.
There's so much loot. It's like Symphony of the Night. So much loot, but it's randomized. And then
the enemies have been looking pretty
cool.
Lots of really cool
enemies. I posted a video of a giant cat that you encounter. I didn't want to fight him, but
and then it swipes.
He swipes at you, and then you can summon like a wall of fire that erupts underneath your feet. It's really cool.
I couldn't be looking forward to a game more than that. But I'm so enjoying Zelda right now that I can't switch over quite yet. But I'm about to.
Yeah. Anyway, Bloodstained is so far so good. Nice. Right, they did not mess it up. What about you, CJ?
A couple things. Switch, Castlevania, still rolling through
speaking
that.
Speaking of.
Yeah, those are so good. And every time I keep playing them, I realize how god-tier the music is. 8-bit, 16-bit, they're so good.
The music in Bloodstained so far is good, not on the level of Symphony of the Night.
Gotcha, okay. But yeah, I beat Castlevania 1, tried 2, got halfway through it, beat 3, Castlevania.
Beat Castlevania 1?
Yeah, like on the collection, like, on the Switch.
I couldn't beat Dracula.
Dracula's so hard.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, for me, it's like I'm following the speedrun cheats, like where you like have holy water.
Able to do that? I mean, I tried for a little bit with that.
But I'm using the whole save state thing, and then you're going back and forth. So
it's fine.
But then Castlevania 4 or Super Castlevania, probably like 3/4 way through. So gonna get through that. But yeah, man, they play so good. I miss them. Miss them so much. It's for a different show, but Destiny. September 17th is a big Destiny update. You forgot about that one.
I didn't do like expansions.
Doing new games.
That's okay. That's
talking about new
games. But yeah, so Destiny obviously is in its weekly updated phase where, you know, there's Season of Opulence, there's a whole bunch of things. So you got to play that game weekly. And Apex has Season 2 coming out as well, too. So I'm grinding with my little guys. Season 2, I think, is coming out July 2nd. So, yep. Regular mix of those games. So.
I have to give a shout out to Gato Roboto, which is a very cute. It's a Game Boy art, you know, monochromatic art, and it's a Metroidvania on Switch that, you know, it's about 3 hours long, like very compact, stripped down, but still really fun and compelling. Played through that, and it took me exactly both flights to beat the game.
I'm also playing Resident Evil 4, and I'm almost done with it on Switch, and I would give that game off the charts score.
Wow. Off the charts.
Off the charts.
You're not allowed to give that score.
I think it's perfect, and it gets an off the charts score.
I'm gonna have to report you.
I also downloaded and been playing Auto Chess, the Chinese phenomenon.
Everybody's making Auto Chess right now.
Yeah.
Is that the next battle royale?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it's a little bit too, tactical and nerdy to truly be the next battle royale. But yeah, in terms of like inventing a new genre that everybody's going to pile onto, yeah, we're going to be hearing about that for the next couple of years.
Cool.
Can we deviate real quick about what we're watching? Have you guys seen Chernobyl yet?
We're not going to talk about Chernobyl.
I want to talk about it sometime.
1 minute into this episode,
my brain is losing it.
We can talk about it after.
We'll talk about it another time. But watch it. It's so
Chernobyl is amazing, and you should watch it.
You should watch it.
That's all right.
We're not going to talk about it. It is a different thing.
Here's the next part of the Contra Anniversary Collection code for Switch. The next four characters are 9Q6H. There are only four characters left. Ooh. When will they be read out? Who knows?
Warriors of Light, we call them.
Warriors of Light.
We only read them out if we get to 20 questions.
Well, it's funny you say that. Because that brings us to 20 questions. And Justin.
Is it Final Fantasy 1?
It's 128. I don't know if you're going to have to bow out. Or...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Ooh. I have to bounce. Do you want me to send someone in, or can these two handle it?
Send someone in, but be quick about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll sneak into the mix.
Chernobyl's
Ooh,
amazing.
Chernobyl
well,
is
we can
amazing.
Talk about Chernobyl while we wait for the next 20 person.
I'm only at episode 4.
But Sam hasn't watched it, right?
Don't spoil it for anybody. Anyways,
is it a funny joke because of nuclear?
No, it's one of those things where, I very much remember hearing about Chernobyl, but it's so crazy
There's so much I didn't know.
Yeah, there's so much you don't know.
I didn't know they all spoke English.
Yeah, what's happening
well, that
there?
That was confusing to me. Why does everyone have a British accent speaking English?
Yeah, and then they're looking
they
to read
British,
Russian.
So they didn't fake a Russian.
But it is one of those things where, if you're our age, you remember hearing about that stuff and how you heard about it and the way the information spread. Or what was discussed about it. It's really, really well done. And just the way that they're, the sacrifice and just...
Doesn't make Russia look very good.
No, it doesn't. But somebody else mentioned this. I can't remember where I saw it. It's like the way that they operated to try their best to actually cover up but then contain it is incredible. Like it's frighteningly incredible with the lengths that they went to like make sure that, it was contained. But anyways, crazy.
How are your kids liking it?
Not yet, Sam. I can't.
Definitely not a kid show. Here we go.
Who is it? Oh,
Jonathan and Loki
Dornbush
are going to help us out
of Beyond Fame.
Hi, welcome.
How's it going, man?
To the show.
Justin requested some help for you guys.
Yeah,
yes.
You don't need to put those on.
Absolutely. Okay. No, you're good.
Yeah. We don't have our.
It's easier.
I'm monitoring. Yeah. I'm monitoring. You got to get a little closer, though.
Sure.
There all right.
Just like that.
Your work's
fantastic.
This is good.
It's really
look at this perfect
good.
Dog standing pose in your lap.
He does not want to relax. No, no.
So John Bernthal's dog, I actually interviewed John Bernthal.
You interviewed the dog?
I should have interviewed the dog. The dog was hanging out in the back, green room there, and it was the most docile, calm dog I've ever seen. We were setting up lights and gears, and the dog would just kind of move around. And then they delivered food. The dog jumped up, looked at the food, and was like, no, I can't do this. And he was like,
this dog, CJ.
Loki would not be like that.
No?
He is not that.
Not Loki.
No. Gotcha.
He is not.
Oh, nice. That is a huge dad pun there.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
I like it.
Have you used that one yet?
I have not myself, but yes.
Let's get the ball rolling on Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Cameron. Don't know where he's located, though. Let the questioning begin.
Does the game have a dog in it?
I don't know. I can't answer that one. What's that? Well, this
retracted.
Right.
Perfect.
It.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I don't know.
I had to. That's why.
Come out before 1990.
Before 1990, no.
Come out before 2000.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Nice
90s game.
Window.
90s kids will remember this answer.
90s game.
Was this game a Nintendo exclusive?
No.
Okay.
Did this game come out on a cartridge?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay.
So between 90 and 2000. Cartridge game.
Yeah.
Did this come out on a Nintendo system?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Nice.
That's five.
N64 or Super Nintendo. Oh, right. Let's isolate portability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would this game have come out on a portable system?
No.
Okay. Super Nintendo?
Should we narrow it down to... When did N64 come out?
96. 95.
Okay.
I mean... Yeah, it's got to be one of those.
Yeah.
Or Nintendo. Yeah. Nintendo lasted the original, into the 90s. Yeah. It just sucks we have to ask all three. I mean,
I know.
Hate doing that.
As well.
Is this a Nintendo 64 game?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Save two questions.
Yeah.
There we go.
Perfect.
That worked out.
All right.
But it wasn't an exclusive.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So not like a Banjo or something like that.
So it could be a little cross-platform game. Mm-hmm, maybe a sports game.
Oh.
I hope not.
Yeah, those are always bad.
For our sake.
Yeah, exactly.
did this game have multiplayer?
No.
Oh, sports game. Gone. For the most part.
Was this game a platformer?
Yes.
Okay.
So a non-exclusive... Oh, wait, could the exclusivity thing have to do with maybe it being re-released later?
Maybe, but did you ask that or did you ask if Nintendo made it?
Oh,
wait, no.
What was it? He asked if it was exclusive to the system.
It was not exclusive at the time.
Okay.
Oh, caveat there. At the time.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so it is a platformer.
Platformer.
Was Glover N64 exclusive?
I don't know if we'd have that game.
Damon smiled there. ask a Glover related question. No, I'm serious. This is part of
the game star a glove.
No.
Do you want to ask that question?
Not as well.
Yes.
No.
Okay, it's not Glover. Not Glover.
That's right. Sorry. All right. Yeah, I'm reading the poker face. Typically, he's pretty good, but
was this game developed by a Japanese developer?
No.
Okay.
Huh.
Was not exclusive at the time.
Rare?
Yeah, not exclusive.
Well, Rare stuff would have been exclusive.
Oh, right. Yeah, that would have been.
Not
a platformer.
It's weird, right?
It is.
Yeah.
A non, like, Nintendo platformer.
Is this a 3D platformer or a 2D platformer? Or a 3D platformer?
Yes, 3D platformer.
3D platformer.
I don't see 3D.
Oh.
Something just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Was this poorly received?
Not by Cameron.
Oh, that's, by IGN?
I don't know what IGN's review of this game is.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So I didn't count that question. So.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So would the main character be... Would a main character be an animal?
Oh, yeah.
Is the main character an animal? Yes.
Okay. So it might be something terrible, like Chester Cheetah or Bubsy. Or
licensed is a good call.
Exactly.
Is this based on a license?
No.
All right.
Oof.
Because there were some like Looney Tunes games back then.
Yeah.
Not based on a license. Is Bubsy really the only thing we have now?
Yeah, we need to work around Bubsy. I think I think that was a PlayStation exclusive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. There's Mega Man Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a platformer?
That wasn't really.
Was that
the Mega Man 64?
Was that
Japanese developed, though.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Not
what
Japanese
else?
Platformer. 3D, not exclusive.
Mm-hmm. There's that Mortal Kombat platformer. I think that was 2D.
Was there a... Ooh. No, that would have been...
Yeah, Deception. Deception. Mortal Kombat Deception.
Yeah, it's not that. That's not a platform. That's a...
I mean...
There was just this one Sub-Zero game. I think that was...
Platformer in 3D, though. It really is like...
It's messing me up. Yeah.
It's got to be bad. Like, that's what's
exactly.
weird.
Exactly. But it's also some kind of random franchise.
Are there Tomb Raiders that came out on everything?
I can't remember Tomb Raider. Well, Tomb Raider is PC, and that was until like late 90s.
PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not PC.
Well, I mean, but early when it's first released.
And wait, what was the answer for an animal? If it starts?
Yes.
Not Tomb Raider.
Could it be the Crash Bandicoot type stuff? Or
Crash was PlayStation exclusive, and
Spyro?
So was Spyro.
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 They
exclusive?
They were both PlayStation
exclusive.
What was
Spyro 2?
All three of the original trilogies were exclusive to PlayStation.
Banjo is
but it's an exclusive.
Has this game been re-released on the contemporary round of consoles?
No.
Oof,
man.
It's 15.
Where's the boss music?
I know. I had good. I had contra boss music.
Wow. Hearing a huge blank then.
Do you, man.
Castlevania. Oh, no. You're not an animal.
You play as a werewolf in the second one.
Not as a full-time.
I don't know what to ask about, like, weapons or, like, gameplay or something.
Yeah, but N64 platformers were all pretty much the Nintendo and Rare ones for me.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When Rare was out of the mix.
Oh, it
was pretty bad.
What about, like, a Gex?
Mm-hmm. Did Turtles have a platform? But it's a license as well.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it's a mascot platform.
Yeah, well, like something like Gex the Gecko. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of that feature Chloe wrote of the platformers that need a return. Croc was I don't know if Croc was on N64. Mm-hmm. It might have been.
Was the main character of this game a mammal?
No.
Oh.
What were you?
Whoa. What? What lizard, bird, bug are we playing at?
I mean, Gex would be one.
Yeah, I think Gex. That's why I asked that. Don't go specific yet.
Okay. Because we only have four questions.
You can ask about reptiles, though.
See, but Turok and all these other characters are not main characters. Those are first person shooters.
Yeah. It's a game where you play as a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry, Chloe. She probably knows what this game is. Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park have I know they had the
platformer. Yeah,
no, all license too.
That knocks so many opportunities out.
No, we're in a good shape here. It's just I don't know if we know this game is. Yeah, issue.
I don't know if
that
we do might, either.
That can be a problem for us. Should we keep on working through the mascot types?
I mean, I'll go specific.
I feel like we just need to ask animals at this point.
Yeah,
reptile.
Well, is reptile too vague? Because gecko would be the one I'd go for.
No,
all right. Does it star a reptile?
Sweet, we got that one. Freebie there. Good job, Jonathan.
Because you don't know if it's an amphibian or not.
Exactly. It's one of those like gray
Pond
areas.
Or whatever
oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Can you ask the question a different way?
Is the character green?
I mean, yeah.
I know.
Is the character reptile?
What about Klonoa?
Yeah. That didn't come out in.
I don't think it's a reptile, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. So, well, I don't think that would be Bubsy then. Oh, man.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I don't know if we can do this one. I mean, is yeah.
You have three questions and a guess list.
So here's the thing. Here's what we need to do. Name a couple games that you think it could be, and then the fail-safe is have we mentioned
all right,
this game yet?
Okay.
Because then... If we have, we know it's one of those, okay. Potentially.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can do a Hail Mary at the end.
Already. I don't have any more things to name.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. So if it is one of those, we
there'd
can...
There'd be Bubsy, Gex, it's not Glover, it's not Banjo, it's...
Do we already say this game?
Yes.
Okay, then...
Well, actually, hold on. You got close.
Okay.
You got very, 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 very close.
Does Bubsy or a couple of these games have official... Like, is it...
Yeah, like, Bubsy isn't the name of the game in full.
Right.
That's Bubsy 3D. I don't know what the Gex... I think it's...
I thought it was just called Gex the Gecko. Mm-hmm. Well, there's, like, a couple with subtitles, but I don't know. The confusion about the reptile is what's really sticking with me.
Yeah. Well, that's the one...
Well, what other game will be mentioned with a reptile?
Yeah. No.
Spyro.
Yeah, but that was a PlayStation exclusive.
Are you guys really, like, really clear on what is a reptile and what is an amphibian?
Yeah.
Okay, are you? Guess it's just me.
An amphibian lives partially in the water. That's the whole point. A reptile lives, you know, above land. They both have cold blood.
Cold-blooded, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where
is Gex cold-blooded?
All questions redundant. Yeah, do you know anything?
He's the only one. So, like, I mean, if you just ask if it has a gecko in it, then we have one more just fire out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, because we've said it, so it would have to be something we've said.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll ask them.
Yeah, do it.
Does it star a gecko?
Yes.
Okay.
Man.
Okay. So
we don't know
good.
The name of the damn game.
I don't know the name of it either.
I don't. It's either like Gex.
Gex 3D.
Well, no, it's like Gex Strikes Back or something N64. Weird like that.
No, I think it's just called Gex the Gecko. I think we can.
One of them is, yeah.
That was a 3DO game originally.
Oh, really?
I think so. We'll find out from this tome that this guy wrote.
From wherever.
All right, do we have to say the full name of the game? Is this Gex the Gecko?
Hold on. You have a question and a guess.
But I don't know how to narrow that down. It doesn't make any sense. Is this game a 3D in its name? Like, I don't know what to say.
Or N64 in its name.
But if it starts Gecko and it's not Gex, what would it be? That's the problem.
Can I ask, does the name of the game have any words besides Gex, the, and Gecko?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think it might not be Gex. That's the weird thing.
I don't know how many geckos there were for this platform.
How long do we want to prolong this? Let's just lose and move on with our lives.
Is the game Gex the Gecko?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is Gex Enter the Gecko.
Oh, a technicality.
It is the sequel to Gex the Gecko.
Oh, because he was
the sequel.
Okay. But we wouldn't have known the name anyway.
Yeah.
We would have just said Gex 2.
Oh, that is straight
hurtful.
All right,
tell us the business.
Oof. That is straight hurtful.
1998, PlayStation, N64, and PC, developed by Crystal Dynamics, published by Midway.
Oh, Midway.
The sequel to Gex the Gecko, Gex Enter the Gecko.
Don't you have a letter about it?
His letter's about a whole other thing.
We just ran
out of time.
Okay. That's hurtful.
Yeah.
That ruins the streak.
Yes, you can see your hands. No, you can't wear a hat.
I'm going to
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, IGN may have given it a 7. I have no idea.
Mm.
Yeah. Back in the day.
That sounds right.
Oh.
You guys don't know? I think I would know I know those names.
Yeah.
Gex the Gecko, then Enter the Gecko.
Yeah, I didn't know
now that
sequel.
You've said it, I remember it. But yeah, it just wasn't coming to mind.
No.
And then I wasn't sure if a gecko was an amphibian.
Okay, that's fair.
So we gave it an 8 out of 10.
An 8?
Okay.
Enter the Gecko?
Good.
The sequel?
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
It's a good game.
I know
game.
The name of the game now.
Great game.
Yeah.
That's an 8-point grape.
Yeah.
Do we have a video review of it from 98?
No.
Let's roll it right now.
Oh,
let's roll it. We got that together.
In 4x3.
It doesn't even have a byline. It's just by IGN staff.
That's how all
those
the,
are
most
favorite.
Of them, yeah.
That's how all the old... what's the verdict? What's the closing like, paragraph on that?
Oh, it's by Doug Perry, signed at the end.
Okay.
Oh,
there
okay,
it is.
Okay, closing what's paragraph it? Is, in the end, Gex is a surprising amount of fun, and gamers will like it because of its offbeat humor, large levels, and great replay value. There's so many cliches already in here. Maybe it's because I like 3D platformers a lot, while other gamers have contentions about them, but I had honest fun playing it and was compelled to play Gex all the way through to the end. Ringing endorsement. Compelled by your reviews editor. You finished the game, you reviewer.
I played most of the games, but this one I played all of it.
I was in the end. I was compelled to play the entire game. I bet that happened in like late November too, or something. You know, so it's like I have to play this whole game.
Super busy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah,
from the crazy. Makers of Marvel's Avengers.
I wonder how many Gex references will be in Avengers.
Yes. Yeah,
probably at least one.
All right, thanks for stepping in, Jonathan.
Of course, happy
thank
you. Got
you.
Us to
Gex. Yeah, you did.
You got it so close.
I got somewhere.
So yeah. Close.
You got really
next
close.
Next time.
You guys have been on a winning streak lately. That's the first L in a while. Mm. So.
I'll bring the eye patch back.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was the boss music. We needed it.
Hopefully next week we'll have the soundboard back. CJ, I need you to drop everything else you're working on and locate that laptop.
I'm going to track it down. I found the lights. I'm going to find the soundboard.
It's probably just in the lobby.
Somewhere.
All right. If you remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Loki. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Woof.
Aha. You thought I forgot the last four digits of the code, didn't you? I did not. The last four digits of the Contra Anniversary Collection code for Nintendo Switch are FTFH. Enjoy the game, whoever got it. We will see you next week. Just forget I said anything.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.